Systems Online. Initiating program, Real Rewind. Hosted by Jason and Jeremy. Starting in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Real Rewind.
What is Real Rewind? Wow, that's a mouthful.
Well, Real Rewind is a new show that we're hosting with Jeremy and with Jason. And we're going to take a look back at movies that were created before 2011.
Yeah. We just had this crazy idea that, you know, with Real Talk being kind of cool, talking about upcoming movies or movies that are out right now, what about all the movies going the other way?
Yeah, we didn't want to have any movies kind of left behind, and it's cool to take a look back and see if movies live up to how they were when we first saw them.
Yeah, so I think we're both coming at from two different angles on this. One's kind of a nostalgic look back at movies we remember, and I think another way of looking at this is maybe discovering movies that we missed from years ago.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. It'll go both ways. I'm sure that we're going to see movies that we look at, and I think that one of them that we'll have to take a look at is definitely Super Mario Brothers at some point.
No, I can't do that.
I
already see that there's going to be like some battles. There's going to be some battles. About
Jason set it up, and this is his doing, so he can't come back from it now. I said that we can agree on movies, and he said, no, let's do it to where we do week on, week off, week on, week off, and we both choose a movie.
Yeah.
Well, one of these times, it's going to be Super Mario Brothers.
Is it? Are we alluding to another podcast?
No, not at all. Everyone knows. Listen, this is going to be released on the Real Talk Network, so This is a new show, but of course we pay homage to our other show as well. Now, this podcast is pretty special because of the fact that Jason and I Jason and I don't get together that often, and usually it's usually to watch movies and stuff. So he wanted to get more involved with the podcasting, and this was a perfect way. I think this is a great idea. I give all credit to Jason.
Okay, well, that's cool. I do look forward to
no pressure
finding movies that Jeremy, you know, may have missed from his youth that I saw, and vice versa, and maybe both of us seeing movies that we haven't seen before. So I think it'll be cool.
I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. So take this week. We sat down to watch a little gem. Now we were gonna. Here's the thing. We were going to watch a movie I've never fully seen all the way through, which was Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, and I did see that, and that was a great movie. I think I've only seen it one time and really wanted to see it again.
The problem was it kind of ran a little long, and it wasn't going to fit for our show tonight. So we made a substitution. Tonight, we saw The Goonies.
The Goonies.
Now, The Goonies was made in 1980.
Which is a lot like Shawshank Redemption, by the way. It's a very, very nice, you know, if you can't see Shawshank, Goonies. It's a logical step.
It has nothing to do with each other. I've never even seen Shawshank, and I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with each other.
Well, you know, one, they're trying to break out of prison, and one, they're trying to break into a cave.
Which may be a prison to some.
See?
Some people have died in the caves.
Like I said.
You know what?
Treasure, I believe, is involved in both movies as well.
You're right.
Yeah.
There's more similarities than I really thought there
were.
We're
going to do this every week. We're going to find another similarity from next week's movie to back to The Goonies.
I can only hope. So it was released in 1985. How old were you in 85?
Oh, my God. Okay, I was 10. That's easy. I was born in 75, so I was 10 years old, probably slightly younger than the kids in The Goonies.
Okay. I was 4.
Okay.
So, I was 4 years old. So, obviously, I didn't have the same connection right away that you did. Did you go see it in the theater?
I did not. I remember my buddies talking about it, and I hadn't heard of it. It wasn't on my radar, but I think I actually saw it for the first time on VHS. So, probably was even a little older by the time I discovered it.
Now, I saw it for the first time when I was probably, I want to say maybe 12, 11, somewhere around 10 to the 12 range.
So we saw it at the same age.
Yeah, and so it's, I'm trying to remember here. I definitely think I saw it when it came out on TV. It wasn't like, I didn't see it on VHS or anything like that. I think it was just, but I fell in love with it when I was a kid.
Yeah, how could you not? I mean, it's total adventure, classic adventure. There's Data with all his gadgets and just the chasing treasure, finding secret maps and, you know, just being able to follow clues. And it's all built on this impossible hope and positive, you know, like you can do anything as a kid, and you're gonna succeed where the adults have failed.
Yeah, and it's the premise is, hey, we're not gonna give up.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool. And the one surprise going back to watch this movie is I didn't know that Josh Brolin was in it.
Yeah, Josh Brolin, Martha Plimpton, who's on Raising Hope today as a mother, but she was also in there. And Sean Astin, I know he's like the main kid, Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's a Steven Spielberg movie, which I didn't realize.
You didn't know that coming back to the second one here, watching this?
No, I didn't. I honestly didn't. I mean, I maybe could have guessed it, but given the type of movies Spielberg's doing now, mm-hmm. I guess I had forgotten kind of his roots.
There's a lot of, in this film, you definitely saw a lot of throwbacks to Indiana Jones and things like that.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, if anything, you could even say it was kind of like a Indiana Jones Jr.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, of course, there's no iconic front runner there, but it's like the adventurer. There was just a group of kids and stuff, but definitely some similarities with a lot of the fun stuff. Maybe they took elements that they couldn't put into Indiana Jones and was like, you know what, let's do a kid movie.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, it makes sense. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm seeing here on IMDb that the average rating for it is a 7.7. Right after I watched it, I kind of gave it my own rating. I gave it a solid 5.
For this one.
For The Goonies.
For coming back around to see it now.
Yeah. Like, as a kid. Literally, just after we finished it, I went and rated it.
Now, what would you give it as a kid?
Oh, I probably would have given it an 8, because I can't say I didn't try to build contraptions that Data had.
Right. I think that if I were to rate it as a kid, I'd probably give it an 8 as well. And coming back and seeing it, I think I'd drop it, but not that much. I don't think I'd go as far as a 5. I think I'd go to a 7.
Okay.
I think that...
But is a 7 for a nostalgic movie the same as a 7 that you'd give a movie in the theater today? Is that 7 the same?
Yes, and okay. I'll explain why. This movie was done in 85. There were a couple scenes that you could laugh at nowadays, you know, because of special effects.
Yeah.
But they held up. I think that's a huge testament to its time, because of the fact that every special effect that was done back then was done without green screen, and it was real.
Yeah.
And so I think real holds up much better than CGI.
Yeah.
Because as we progress with CGI in the newer films, of course, even stuff that looks 2 years old is going to look dated.
Yeah.
So I think nostalgia plays a part in it, but also I feel that the movie definitely held up from looking back as a kid.
Hmm.
And now I still laughed at some of the dumb parts that I laughed as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I still enjoyed all the characters.
I still got a kick out of some of the things that I guess I'd forgotten. I couldn't stop laughing every single time I saw Sloth and his ears wiggling. Like he's so deformed that he has special muscles in his ears that normal humans don't have.
And they just, at the end, it got ridiculous. Yeah. Because they just wiggle like he's about to fly off.
The happier he gets, the more they're flapping around. They don't even look alike. They're two different ears. All just from getting dropped on his head a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it really, it transported me back to thinking about my youth and thinking about how much fun it was to go out. Like, when they went out on their bikes and they started that adventure, all I could think about was me and my friends going out. And nowadays, you know, we all just sit in our houses and we watch TV, and we don't really get together with friends every day like we used to.
Yeah.
And that part I sadly miss, because it's like, hey, let's get on our bikes and just ride our bikes somewhere. Let's go to the, you know, down to the corner store and spend 2 hours picking out bubble gum.
You know, you bring up a really good point, because actually just you mentioning that, I'm thinking back to my youth, and this movie may have influenced me more than I realized, because I just remember that I actually had a club that I formed with my best friend, and it was like it wasn't quite like the Goonies, it was in the spirit of the Goonies, mm-hmm. but what we were supposed to be like a detective agency, just two of us. Zero detective skills between the two of us. We were called the Panthers.
Oh,
I
nice.
Even made t-shirts. We had t-shirts made, and they were the most amazing. It was a lot of fun, and we had this, I don't know, we were like tracking these, what we thought these people were dealing drugs in our neighborhood, so we were like writing down license plates of cars that would come to their house. You don't know this about me, but I mean, it was, we thought we were like any minute now we were going to break this to the cops, and this was going to be,
you
like
were
a
building
big,
your case.
Yeah And we had like lined notebooks filled with license plates. I mean, we were serious. We had the t-shirts to prove it.
Wow, I did not. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
The Panthers. Anybody in Bellflower, California, back in the 80s, if you remember some goofy kids riding around on their bikes calling themselves the Panthers, that was us.
And not the Black Panthers.
Right, just the Panthers.
Just the Panthers.
Yeah.
What color was your panther?
It was a Black Panther. There's only one color of a panther anyway.
I didn't know if you wanted to be associated with that that group.
Our t-shirts were gray, because I think that was the only color that we could get at that price that matched our budget.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
So, looking back on it, maybe bump it up to a 6?
Maybe so. I could see that. But that's purely a nostalgic plus one.
There's gotta be, I mean, nostalgia has to play a part in some of these ratings.
It's going to.
And, you know, because most of the time when we first see movies, it's just instantly off of kind of, there's adrenaline that's goes into it when you think about it, and it's fresh on your mind. And so looking back, these movies, for me anyways, they really do transport me back to that age frame. With these, I'm sure that there's going to be movies that really don't do that, but these ones from my youth are kind of special to me. So
yeah, and I got to say now too, I mean, like, had we been reviewing this movie 10, 15 years ago, I wouldn't have nearly the nostalgia that I do now, because now I'm in my late 30s and we're so far removed from the 80s. I'm watching the movie and I'm looking at all the little things from the 80s that have been long forgotten, you know, like the Pepsi cans and the way they looked, you know, mm-hmm. the way the cars looked, the toys.
Yeah.
And you remember that stuff and you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, you're completely, in that moment, you're not thinking about the movie. You're just like, wow, I'm getting to see a glimpse of my 80s mm-hmm. in right in front of my eyes.
And we talked about this while the movie was playing. When they were in the attic, the character Bran, which was played by Josh Brolin, he picks up the book, and you made a comment, and you said, what kid is going to be interested in a book?
Well, he's a jock, specifically.
Right, right.
Like, he's all into weightlifting and girls. And
he's like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
But I thought about it, and I responded, and I said, well, they didn't have video games back then. You know, what else are they going to do?
Yeah.
And, of course, they had the Pong and stuff. But
and Atari.
Right.
I was there. I lived it.
But for the most part, it was opening a book. It was going outside, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this was the thing. And sadly, I also thought about it for my kid. And I was like, man, I don't know if he's going to ever experience this because of how much fear is being instilled into everything we do nowadays.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's go outside. Oh. Well, better not.
Oh, we had unbridled freedom back then.
Oh,
yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I would go blocks away on my bike and my parents wouldn't have a clue. They just had one expectation, be home by dinner.
Mine was the same. I could go and adventure anywhere I wanted to, as long as I was home by the time the street light came on.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't, you heard my mom screaming down the street.
Oh, my gosh. My best friend, his mom had one of those whistles that she does with her fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear that thing like 3 blocks away. I mean, it was ridiculous. I was like, hey, Brandon, you got to go home, dude. and the funny thing, like as powerful as her whistle was, he was always like a little bit hard of hearing. So it was always, I always had to like, hey, dude, your mom's whistling.
That's
Can you imagine that now, though? I mean, who's going to call their kids home with a whistle? I mean, they're going to be within eyesight.
And or a phone. A phone call.
Yeah, that's true.
And so
a digital leash.
The funny thing is we moved into our new house about a year and a half ago. And we have a street full of kids. Well, you know, with families, with kids about Colin's age, about 5. Never see them outside.
Yeah.
They're never outside. And the parents are never outside. And I have a neighbor who goes outside with their daughter, and, you know, they play and stuff. But even me, thinking a year down the road or 2 years down the road, I'm scared to let them just run across the street to the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
I shouldn't feel that way, should I?
I know. He's never going to get that sense of adventure like the Goonies had.
You're right. You're right.
But what can you do?
Watch it and just really enjoy what we did have.
Yeah.
So we have some interesting tidbits. We were watching this film, and I couldn't help but think, and you thought this too, where was this place filmed? Because it was raining, it was kind of murky all the time.
Well, see, you know, and I grew up in California, and I don't know, I just felt like it was West Coast, but not quite like Southern California, because where they lived was real hilly and stuff, and raining, and just really, really green everywhere, and that's not really Southern California. But I was definitely thinking Northern California or Oregon or Washington even.
I have some computer beeps going on. Sorry about that. Yeah, so where was it actually filmed?
It was filmed in Oregon. Specifically, the town that the kids grew up in is Astoria, which is a real town in Oregon. And they did a lot of the filming around there, and also in Northern California. And there was a scene where they're driving on the beach, and you really can't do that on the beaches on the West Coast, but I think there's one or two along the coast that you legally can drive on the beach.
And I actually Google searched some of the images, and of course those giant rocks are still there that are in the ocean. And,
yeah.
Which is, it seems like a lot of fun. I instantly wanted to go and take a trip out there.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat. But what other things did we learn about this?
Here's something interesting. The pirate ship they used in the cave at the end, One-Eyed Willie's pirate ship, according to IMDb, that was entirely real.
How much money do you think?
They say entirely real. I mean, what does that mean? Like
they had to fully build it. Right? I don't know if it's operational, but they fully built it.
I read the pirate ship was entirely real. Like they actually found that ship, and it was originally a real pirate ship. They're like, hey, let's throw this in the movie. But they said that all the shots filmed on the ship, you know, were real. And then after they filmed it, they tried to give the ship away to anybody that would take it, and no one wanted it.
How would you not want a pirate ship?
Somebody, you know, you'd think somebody would, but they said that they ended up scrapping it.
That's a shame.
Yeah,
because it was really cool. I mean, that's a really cool piece of movie history.
Yeah, a little bit of.
I don't think you could do that nowadays and scrap it. I think that with the internet. You post that thing on the internet and mark it free, someone's going to put it in their backyard. I put it in mine. Yeah. Oh no, it's a play area.
It's advanced.
So, who was your favorite character? If you had to pick one character out of this movie,
oh, definitely Mikey. I mostly identify with Mikey because I had that just crazy optimism, like. There's reality, but then there's wishful thinking, and that was totally where I lived in those years. I mean, and then Mikey scores big because he gets to kiss the older girl, you know, the hot, you know, chick that her brother is actually, you know, trying to make out with, and so that's like for Mikey, for his age and where he's at, that was a total win, and I could definitely identify with that.
I loved. I think it might be a tie for me between Mikey and Data.
Mm.
just because of how kind of nerdy and quirky Data is, I kind of identified with that a little bit growing up.
Yeah.
But I also had the big thinking as well, like Mikey. And so I think it'd be a tie if I could do a tie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that allowed?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk for
me. I'm just glad you didn't say Chunk.
He's so annoying.
No, he's funny.
He's funny, but like the screaming gets old real quick. Okay.
But he's got those big, giant, like, teeth, you know, like before his adult teeth come in, and his teeth are like oversized, and his face is just—it's just funny to look at.
And you said during the movie that you hated the mama character, Mama Fratelli.
Yeah, she's got that gruff voice, like she used to be a man. It's scary,
or she still may be a man.
And then I said that I was trying to think what other movie she was in, and I did not look this up, but I think she was in another movie in the 80s called Throw Mama from the Train. Yep, there it is, 1987, 2 years later.
Oh, she was in Scrooged as well. I have that movie. Have you ever seen that?
I have not seen Scrooge.
Oh, we'll have to watch it.
I think I saw bits and pieces of it.
It's a pretty good one. I like it.
Yeah.
So this it's hard to look at the 80s hits and not just see the same people over and over again, because these movies made these actors. We got Sean Astin, we got Corey Feldman.
What else was Sean Astin in?
Oh, Lord of the Rings. He was also Rudy.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
And in the 80s, what was this movie I really loved in the 80s? I think let me pull it up here if I can. He's been in a lot of stuff. I want to say Whitewater Summer.
Never heard of it.
This movie.
Kevin Bacon film.
Yeah, he was in it with Kevin Bacon, and it was such a great movie. In my eyes. Now, it's only gotten a 5.9.
Wow.
So, maybe, you know, we'll have to revisit this one day. But when I saw it, I always loved it. I sat down and watched it. Always.
Wow.
So, but that's pretty neat.
I have a feeling this podcast is going to lean 80s.
No.
We can't do that, though.
We can't. No. We won't. We'll skip around. I'm sure that we're going to have stuff all the way up to 2011. And,
yeah.
I mean, we're just getting a little nostalgic here because we watched the 80s movie. So, of course, our mind is there.
Yeah.
And it was directed by Richard Donner.
Wow.
So, I mean, I know that earlier in the podcast you said that it was Spielberg, but it was actually...
Oh, yeah.
It was written and produced by Spielberg.
There you go.
But it was directed by Richard Donner, and if you don't know him, he did the Star Wars, and he also did...
He did Star Wars?
Or not Star Wars, Superman.
Yeah.
He did Superman, and he did what else?
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. Yeah. Just the first one?
I think he did the entire series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or if he didn't direct them, he was producing
them. Yeah, he did them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he do the fourth one? They don't have the fourth one?
Lethal Weapon 4? Yeah, they did. Three, four, yeah,
so got the whole series.
Yeah, he directed them all. What a great guy.
Yeah.
So he's responsible for one of the movies of our youth.
Yeah.
So
it was cool. It was fun to watch.
It was. Now, of course, we spent a good 20 minutes talking about it. We're going to run out of things to talk about here on this film. So I'd like to set up a little bit for next week. Next week is Jason's pick.
Mm.
And what we're going to do is we're going to put out our picks 1 week in advance, so that way you can see the film along with us.
Mm. I wish they knew what my pick was for next week, because I don't either.
I thought that you picked one.
Did I?
Yeah. You said that you wanted to see L.A. Confidential.
Oh, yeah, I did. See, that's my memory kicking in. I'm 37, folks. 37. I did say that, and I said it, what, yesterday?
You said it yesterday. You said, I saw half of it, and I wanted to finish it. It'd be great for next week. I think that's my pick.
And actually, that works well, because you had seen half of Goonies and wanted to finish it, so I'm going to finish L.A. Confidential.
Okay, so next week, we're going to see L.A. Confidential.
There you go.
All right, so this is pretty
much
our show.
Russell Crowe's breakout film, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, it's got Russell Crowe, breakout film. He's going to look different to you, because he looks so different than he does now. But anyway, yeah, Russell Crowe, also Kim Basinger.
Ooh, you have the same issues as me. Can't pronounce last names.
Only with her name. I do know names, but her, anyway. Yeah, she's in it. can't tell you who else until I see it.
Okay, cool. So next week we got LA Confidential, and you know, we're going to talk, of course, off microphone to see how things go. This is the first episode, so we're still feeling it out a little bit. Maybe we'll add a little something here and there, but essentially, this is what you get. I hope that you liked it.
What was it called again?
Oh, no.
No, the show.
I know. Are you serious right now?
I think I know what it is. I just want to...
Real Rewind.
I wanted you to tell them.
Okay, so we'll set it up here. Okay. So, as our closing, as we close, do you have anything else that you want to add?
No, I got it. Let's close the show.
It's like, no, I got to go.
Because I got to go to bed.
Okay, so this was Real Rewind. I'm Jeremy.
Jason here.
And we will see you next week.
Later.
Peace!